All right. Well, welcome to each one of you that is here this evening. It's good to see everyone here, and especially the visitors from New Life. Glad to see you here. And I'm thankful that on an evening like this, not the normal ushers aren't here, the normal sound guys aren't here, but we're all working together and we're making it work. So I just want to thank each one who pitched in. Thanks for everyone to make it work. I just greet you all in Christ's name. The message that I have tonight is just to encourage us all to keep our focus on the unperishable, just to keep our focus on heaven. It's easy to get wrapped up in things around us, things of this world. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 3, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. So 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about living in the hope of the Lord's coming. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandment of us and the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, and by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which now are, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, that the account and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. So I will be just going through this chapter and sharing some thoughts, and there were some verses that stood out to me that just encouraged me, and I just want to share it with you. There in verse 1 it says, I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. And I trust that is us tonight, that we have pure minds, that we are born again Christian believers. And it talks here about the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And it seems if you look at social media, I tend not to look too much because it always discourages me. But it seems that you always see people that just seem off the deep end, and it just seems that, yeah, the world is a wicked place. And it just says here, as it says here, walking after their own lusts and just living a kind of life that you don't really agree with. But we don't have to be that way. I trust we all have our focus on heaven, and that is our goal, that we believe in Jesus Christ and that we trust we're someday going to be with Christ forever. And in verse 7, it says there, the world talks about the flood there during Noah's time. The same word, the same God that created the flood and destroyed the people there, it's the same one that is keeping in store the earth for the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And 8, it talks about the Lord being patient, one day as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And for me, it's hard to understand exactly how that works, but we know that the Lord is patient. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. So as we see that there are scoffers around us, people, ungodly people, but we know that the Lord is long-suffering. And it says here in verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And that those two verses really stood out to me, just a challenge to me of not focusing on the earthly things and what we can do for ourselves. And I just wrote down here, just as I was studying, some of the, we would call them amazing things that are going to disappear in when the end of the world comes. One thought that I had is the infrastructure of the world, the highways, the huge buildings in big cities. We see huge bridges, huge elaborate houses. Some people have huge houses that it's hard to even believe someone would live in a house like that. And it's amazing to see something like that, but to know that that won't be here forever. Something else that is going to disappear is our bank accounts. All the money that we make, all the money we spend, are we doing it for the right reason? Our houses, vehicles, our retirement fund. At work, we have a 401k, and I'm paying into that, and I have the hope if I live long enough, eventually I'll probably not be able to work, so my plan is to hopefully have something there that to provide for myself and family, but that's not a guarantee, and my hope shouldn't be in that. Eventually, that is going to be gone. It's not an eternal thing. And I had to think about hobbies. What do we spend our money on? What are our priorities? Hunting land, hunting gear, our favorite rifle that we like to use to hunt isn't eternal. Or a big buck that's hanging on the wall. Or fishing gear or boats. And just to make it personal for myself, I have a 1968 amplifier for my guitar. It's a twin reverb, and it's what they call a drip edge with a blackface circuit. And I know that sounds French to you, but to me, it's a special am. But it's not an eternal thing. I enjoy playing through it, but I was just reminded reading this that that's not going to last forever. So these things, we know these things are perishable. So it's important that we focus on eternity, and Christ said to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt. Thieves can't break through or steal. So it's important that we keep our focus there and to do that. In verse 13 here, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we are looking for, according to his promise, as he has promised to us, we believe him, we trust, as we heard in the children's class tonight, and we trust God. We know that he doesn't lie. We trust there's a new heaven, a new earth coming. And I really like how it says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There won't be a wicked person there. And in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. So I'd like to take a look at some of the unperishable things, the things that are going to last. In Revelation 21, I'd like to read a few verses. If you have your Bibles, you can read, turn to that and read with me. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 6. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God and out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And to me, that verse, verse 3 and 4, we see here God himself will be with us. If we read through the Bible, anytime someone saw God or had a vision, I don't believe anyone ever saw his face. Nobody could live and see his face. But anyone ever had a personal encounter, we always read that they fell down as dead. They were helpless. But in the new kingdom, in new heaven, God will be with us. The way I understand, that will be taken away, and we will be able to be in his presence. So I'm looking forward to that. And in verse 4, it talks about wiping the tears from our eyes. There won't be, if there's no tears, there's no sadness, there's no death, no sorrow or crying. There's no pain. There's people here, or I don't know about here, but in this world that live with pain. Maybe their bodies are wearing out, but in the new heaven, that will pass, and we'll have new bodies. The loved ones that have gone on before us, we can be together with them again. It's another thing to look forward to. And then reading 5 and 6, and he sat down upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And that is another thing to look forward to, is to drink freely from that water. So to me, I always think that heaven will be similar to the Garden of Eden, without any corruption. I think it'll be better than that, but still very similar. It'll be a pure place. In Hebrews chapter 12, there's a couple of verses here. Chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. It says there to follow peace with all men. We're to be holy as God is holy. And we know we can't be holy if we don't have the blood of Christ on our life. If we don't have our sins under the blood, it's impossible to be holy. But if we surrender to Christ and we live for Him and have our sins forgiven through what Christ has done on the cross, we can live a holy life. And we can seek peace, to live in peace with our neighbors, our people around us. It says there to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we don't have holiness, we won't see the Lord. So I'll bring this to a conclusion here. In 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13, And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If we suffer for evil-doing, that is what we deserve. But if we suffer for doing what is right, that is what... Christ did that for us. He suffered for sins, and through that we were made free. He did that for us. And 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure unto, whereunto even baptism does now also now save, not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So that is where Christ is now, and we trust that he will be returning soon. And here in verse 21, challenged me as well, that we're saved not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. It's not us stopping evil or or quitting if we have bad habits or living in sin. It's not stopping that saves us, but it's answering to God and to obey God is what saves us in a good conscience towards God. It's the way I understand that. And that kind of put a different focus on some things for me to answer of a good conscience toward God. We can't do good on our own is what that is saying. So yeah, I just encourage us all to keep our mind on heaven and that unperishable reward that will last forever. It will be worth everything. I'll just ask a question. Is there anything here on this world that we would refuse to give up if we would know it'll cost us eternal life? I think if it comes down to it, we would be willing to give anything to be in eternity with God forever. So let's not let anything keep that from happening. So that is what I have for this evening. Again, just thank you for each one for being here. Thank you to the ones who were praying for me. It means a lot to me. Just kind of shifting tonight because we're expecting a snowstorm. Sometimes I wish we wouldn't have radar, the weather, and just wake up to a foot of snow or whatever is coming our way. But still, it is convenient to know, but it would be interesting to wake up to a surprise. But yeah, thank you for each one to be here, and why don't I have a word of prayer, and then I will turn the time over to Tyler to have a time of sharing. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you again this evening. Just thank you for this time together. Just thank you for a warm building to be inside with the cold and the wind outside. And thank you for your blessings to us, the way that you provide for us. Above all, we thank you for the plan of salvation and that we have something to look forward to, not as lost souls, but that we are saved and have a reward to look forward to, Lord, to be with you someday forever. I just ask that you bless each one that is here tonight. Just watch over us as we go our separate ways. Bless each one for being here. And just ask for your protecting hand over the next couple of days. According to the weather prediction, we'll be having some cold and snow, but we don't know for sure. We know the weather is in your hands, but Lord, if it is, we just ask for your hand over us as we go through life and just keep your protecting hand over each one of us. Thank you for your blessings and your kindness to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.